produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. It's Tuesday, April 1st, and it's 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Get involved in the cannabis civil rights movement and join us here at Normal. You can learn everything you need to know at normal.org. Make a donation, write a letter, attend a rally, or march for your rights. It all starts with you. Call your Congress at 202-225-3121. They'll ask your zip code and put you in touch with your elected officials. It still is a government of we the people, but you have to step up and do your part. Tuesday is Government at Work Day on the podcast, and coming up after the news, we're going to the American Midwest to speak with attorney Don Fidler in Omaha, Nebraska. Don fills us in on the attempt by the Nebraska legislature to recriminalize cannabis possession in the state. After that, I've got the first song emailed to me by a listener. It's a trippy little song called Jack Harrer, and it's by a group of medical marijuana patients in California that have formed their own band called the Dixon Chicks. Remember, we're always looking for music for the podcast, so if you've got a toker-friendly tune that's ready to be heard by thousands of people worldwide, send it to me at stash@normal.org. And to round out our show, we conclude our conversation with Normal founder and legal counsel Keith Strop, who gives us an update on his Boston Freedom Rally case. So sit back and relax with your favorite strain. This is your Normal Daily Audio Stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. President George W. Bush announces amnesty for all marijuana prisoners by Samuel R. Caldwell, special federal correspondent. In a surprise move today while visiting Kiev, Ukraine, in advance of NATO meetings, U.S. President George Bush made a dramatic announcement that in one giant sweeping act of executive clemency, he was freeing all 70,000 of America's marijuana-only prisoners. President Bush said, quote, "I was down in Crawford last week, driving my pickup around the ranch, looking for some brush to cut. Turned on the radio. It was my buddy, my fellow Texan, Willie Nelson. He was singing Bobby McGee. Well, right after that song finished, Willie came back on and did a PSA. That's a public service announcement for Normal. You know that marijuana group. I was sitting there in my truck alone, listening, and guess what? A thought occurred to me. You know, I'm at the end of my term in office, and I'm never going to be running to be elected for anything ever again. That's when I realized that freedom isn't just another word when you ain't free. And I have the power to free America's most harmless prisoners, the 70,000 marijuana-only prisoners. After all, what Willie Nelson says is right. Half of all adult Americans have smoked a doobie sometime in their life.
Shitty. If the cops ever caught everybody who was breaking marijuana laws in America at the same time, you'd have to fence off a couple of states to make us a jail big enough to hold them all. And you know, letting all those marijuana prisoners go, I'll also be freeing up some 70,000 prison cells for real criminals. Or we could use some of that freed up billions of dollars we were spending to lock those people up and spend the money for college scholarships or fixing roads. You know, I was watching one of my all-time favorite TV shows last night, The Real Time with the Bill Maher. And I agree with Representative Barney Frank that the Congress needs to pass the Make Room for Serious Criminals bill. Lastly, in preparation for my last NATO meeting in Europe, my aides included recent writings from travel guru and author Rick Steves. Who can't appreciate his practical advice? Now that'll be it for today. Thank y'all for coming, but I've got to leave. I've got a very important meeting at 4:20 this afternoon with other heads of state.
End quote. Marijuana enlarges sex characteristics, new study reports. Woodcock, British Columbia. Researchers at the Royal Canadian University of Woodcock's John Holmes School of Urology have discovered evidence that the new superpotent strains of marijuana, known as BC Bud, the Chronic, or Skunk, have potentially undesirable effects for male marijuana smokers. The lead researcher, Dr. Vinnie Boombatz, stated that he studied 1,420 male marijuana smokers over a period of 6 months. The subjects were divided into a group that received 20 grams per day of high-potency marijuana, the so-called sticky icky, and another group of control subjects that were given 20 grams per day of low-potency grass, otherwise known as schwag. Dr. Boombatz found that after 6 months of the high-potency marijuana, measuring up to 20% pure THC, 85% of the men experienced an increase in the length and girth of their male anatomy. Median growth was 2 centimeters in length and 1 centimeter in girth, but almost 5% of the men experienced growth of more than twice those figures. Quote, "When the news of this latest finding about the harms of marijuana hits home," said Dr. Boombatz, "we can only hope that our young people will finally understand just how dangerous these skunk forms of marijuana can be. This isn't like the pot of the 1960s, end quote. Dr. Boombatz tells parents the warning signs of your teenage boy's addiction to BC Bud can include obvious discomfort while wearing tight jeans, hidden purchases of Magnum condoms, and an inordinate amount of attention from cheerleaders. Parents in Southern California's San Fernando Valley are particularly warned to investigate further if their son says he's gotten a job, quote, in the movies, end quote. This announcement comes 1 year to the day of Dr. Boombatz's dramatic discovery last year that girls who smoke bongs are 6 times sexier than girls who smoke cigarettes. Bush signs executive order legalizing marijuana. In a dramatic and unexpected move, President George W. Bush this morning signed Executive Order 69-420, which immediately removes cannabis sativa from the DEA's list of controlled substances. As of this moment, adult marijuana prohibition is over, and all possession, use, and cultivation of marijuana is completely legal under federal law. President Bush cited the fact that he himself once used marijuana, as did former President Bill Clinton, as well as Mr. Bush's prior opponents, Vice President Al Gore and Senator John Kerry. Mr. Bush said the move to legalize marijuana is part of an overall harm reduction measure with respect to drugs that he wishes to leave as his legacy. The president recognizes that America will never truly be drug-free, so instead he has signed this executive order in order for the DEA to concentrate on controlling the more harmful, harder drugs. Said Mr. Bush,
"One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs."
While this move makes marijuana legal at the federal level, cannabis enthusiasts are reminded that this executive order does not overturn the laws in the 50 states that regulate marijuana, except for those states whose statutes take their drug definitions directly from the federal schedule. Attorneys throughout the country are scrambling to determine exactly what the status of marijuana will now become in their respective states. The candidates for president reacted to the new executive order re-legalizing marijuana. Senator Barack Obama, who has admitted to smoking marijuana in his past, addressed some leaders in the African-American community who have condemned the move as the Bush administration abandoning poor minority communities to the scourge of drugs. Mr. Obama said,
"To condemn it without understanding its roots only serves to widen the chasm of misunderstanding that exists between the races."
Senator Hillary Clinton, whose husband famously said,
"I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale, and never tried it again."
When asked about his marijuana use, praised the executive order, but cautioned that it won't mean a whole lot if the states do not follow suit and repeal their statutes against marijuana possession, since most marijuana arrests occur at the state level. The former First Lady said,
"I personally did not think it made any difference. You know, it's clear this is not going to count for anything."
Senator John McCain was asked about the president's order to re-legalize marijuana and whether he thought this should lead Congress to consider the possibility of reducing the penalties on other illegal substances. Mr. McCain said,
"I believe that this is a possibility that is maybe closer to reality than we are discussing tonight."
Then Radical Russ woke up and realized that today is April Fool's Day, and he was only dreaming the news that he wishes he could someday read on the air.
James Roquefort here from PeopleRadio.com, and you're listening to Normal, the podcast for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Oh, I didn't know they needed reforming. It's illegal, you say? I'll be right back. Sorry, I had to flush my goldfish down the toilet. What was this about marijuana? Oh well, now on with the show.
Tuesday is our look at your government at work, here at the Audio Stash. While the inevitable re-legalization of cannabis hemp will have to happen at the federal level, the steps leading to that destination take place at the state and municipal levels. We focus in on the initiatives, bills, and amendments regarding cannabis across all 50 states, and what activists like you are doing to enact a positive reform to our cruel and outdated marijuana laws.
Body dies,
if you're working hard to make an impact in your city and state, please email us at stash@normal.org and let's share your local efforts with the worldwide cannabis community. Together, we can affect our government at work.
The afternoon pollution rises high into the sky. How can we still deny?
For our Government at Work segment here on The Stash, we're joined by someone from the great Midwest, Nebraska, specifically Omaha, Nebraska. We're speaking with Don Fidler, who's a member of the Normal Legal Committee. He's also a former executive director of Normal, and he's working now as a criminal defense attorney in Omaha, Nebraska. And Don, thank you for joining us here on the show today.
It's a pleasure to be on your show, Russ.
So what we've got going on here in Nebraska is a bill that would seek to decriminalize marijuana. And this was quite a controversy down there because apparently they were trying to recriminalize marijuana. Let's let our listeners know what happened with that bill.
Well, first of all, we were the last state to decriminalize way back in 1977. And there have been numerous attempts over the years to try to change that law, all of which have been unsuccessful. We have a bill that actually got out of the Judiciary Committee for the first time this year that would change the penalty significantly. Recriminalization, not necessarily, but what they were talking about was upping the fine and also the amounts and penalties. And what happened was is that we have a legendary state senator named Ernie Chambers, who has been in the Nebraska unicameral legislature for going back to the early 70s, and he's reached a point where the term limits legislation has set in, so this is the last year that he can be involved with the bill.
Okay, his last chance to do something about it then.
Yes. So what happened was is that he's a master at lobbying, and we're at the end of a session, and other state senators have other priority bills, and there's not much time left. So, quite frankly, what Senator Chambers did said, I'm going to lobby this, take all the time to which I'm entitled, and indicate why this bill should stay the way it is. And he took the steam out of the bill right away.
So this the law as it exists currently in Nebraska, I understand, Nebraska is a decrim state. So right now, first-time marijuana possession offenses are punishable only by a non-criminal citation and a $100 fine. Now,
if it's less than an ounce, it's not packaged for sale.
Okay, less than an ounce and not packaged for sale. So this bill, this is a LB, Legislative Bill 844, and apparently they were trying to increase the penalty to 90 days in jail. Is that true?
Well, I think that that's the worst possible extension of that, but if that's the bill that got out of the committee, I'm surprised to hear that it was that harsh and that extreme.
Yeah, and then they've been amending this now. Apparently the amended proposal would increase the fine from $100 to $300, but then it wouldn't impose the 90-day jail sentence. So that, I guess, is the important amendment that we're trying to get passed here.
Yes.
Now,
yes, I agree with that.
Now, you'd also mentioned about Nebraska being a unicameral legislature. This is something that maybe a lot of people don't understand, that Nebraska is different than most of the other states in the
all
way their legislature.
We're totally unique. We have 49 state senators, and so it only takes 25 votes to make a law.
And by unicameral, we mean that there's only one...
One house. Unicameral stands for one house.
One house, right. So there isn't like a House and a Senate like there is in many states. There's just this one legislative body, and out of that body, we need 25 out of 49 votes.
Right.
Well, then we definitely want to encourage everyone who's listening to us from the state of Nebraska to get in touch with your senator, your Nebraska state senator, and make sure that they either support this amendment that would only raise it to $300 or to scuttle the bill entirely and keep the law as it is with a $100 fine.
I think that's overstating it. It seems to me that based off of Senator Chambers' threat to do 18 hours of lobbying on the bill, that the other state senators are willing to let this bill pass, die a natural death. But big concern is going to be next year when Senator Chambers is not around, and there'll be another bill that will be brought forward that will be similar to the one that you described. So if citizens in the state of Nebraska are concerned, they ought to be working toward not this year, which seems to be pretty much resolved, but what is going to come down the line next year.
Okay, that's a very good point. So it looks like the bill this year is just set to expire, that nobody's going to really bring it up, and that senator's going to spend all his time basically just letting the bill die a natural death, like you said. But it's never too late to get people involved in talking to their state senators for, like you said, the next session when somebody else tries to bring up a more punishing bill.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where the battle lines are going to be drawn.
Now, are there any websites or places people in Nebraska can contact in order to get more information on these issues and to be able to talk to their state senators?
Well, they can contact through the normal legal committee, which is on the website. They can find very easily. They'll find my name, and they can touch base with me, and I'd be more than happy to try to find out who their state senator is, what sort of situation they're in and where the most effective lobbying may be taking place.
Well, that's a great idea. So check out the NORML website at norml.org. Look on the side for the links to the NORML Legal Committee, and you can get a hold of Don Fidler, who's in Omaha, Nebraska, and he'll be glad to help you out with any more of the research you need to do to be able to get in touch with your Nebraska state senator. Mr. Fidler, thank you so much for joining us here on the NORML Daily Audio Stash.
Well, thank you, and appreciate the national interest that we're generating here. It's not necessarily a good thing. I mean, it's been in existence for over 30 years, the decriminalization in Nebraska, and we not only have survived because of it, there are a lot of people that have gone on with their lives and not been saddled with the albatross of having a criminal conviction for possession of small amounts of marijuana.
Well said, well said. This has been Don Fidler, who's a member of the NORML Legal Committee and a former director of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. He practices criminal defense as an attorney in Omaha, Nebraska. Thanks for joining us, Don.
Thank you, Rob.
Here at the NORML Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Well, it's time for our musical break here on The Stash, and Cannabis Carrie has had the last couple of days off. I've been in charge of picking the music, and today, well, I asked and I shall receive. I put out the call to stoner musicians everywhere and said, bring me your tunes, your jams, your compressed MP3s yearning to be heard. And you responded. This tune comes from Cody, who's a medical marijuana patient in California and a student at Humboldt State University. Ah, Humboldt State. That explains a couple of things. Well, anyway, he and a few of his fellow Prop 215 buddies got together and formed their band called the Dixon Chicks. You can check them out at their MySpace page, and Cody also has his own personal MySpace page with some of his solo material. We've got links to both of the MySpace pages for the Dixon Chicks and for Cody up at our website at stash.normal.org, where you can also download the MP3 of this tune. This is the Dixon Chicks and their tune, Jack Harrer.
All day I sit and smoke and wonder where the time goes all the time. I'll go down with you to get some brew, but Ben gets liquor so he gets drunk quicker. Much of my day is just like yours, but with weed and beer, LSD and whores. And I'll be running and gunning all the time if I ever make it out of this place alive. It's a once in a century thing. I created the swing and then broke it. Threw it all together in a mix and then choked it. You come up, kid, and then you fall back down, then you come back up just like you never did. Answer this question completely, would you ever fuck me discreetly? Lady, if you want to, you should meet me. The summertime dilemma, at least to savor everything. I brought through, but subtly cover me with what I'm wondering. Cold but static and preventative, at least to stay ahead of him. Caught me on Kawana Pinyahe, basic settering. When you find me in the morning, I'll be copping drinks. It's not a matter of opinion, it's just what I... is big and everything seems fine in this poverty pit. I sit and sip and think a little on this autonomous world, and then I do a little dance and impress this girl. Cat's out of the bag, she found my GHB, and I think it's the only reason she's going home with me. But whatever be, it's energy and I don't regret. Only four heads at the party, but they all have sex. It's the beginning of the summer and I'm taking bets. Cat's got my cradle and she thinks she's next. Flip out some contraceptives while me and three girls have sex. the summertime dilemma. At least it's never everything abruptly but subtly cover me with what I'm wondering. COVID setting preventative, at least to stay ahead of him. Caught me on Kawanapin, y'all hey busy settering. When you find me in the morning, I'll be copping drinks. It's not a matter of opinion, it's just what I what fits inside you? I better hold damn masquerade. I hear their sex in public. Are there dicks and chicks on stage? I take it easy, like my man Bob fucking Doe. He's packing Viagra and a whole lot of birth control.
Everyone's always talking about who knows the most about Plato and Socrates.
Got the most quasi-anthropomorphic palindromes and Jamal's all. Do you think it really has to do with reproduction? Then I respond,
I think I should put some shit on pawn. Yo, what you drinking on?
Pouring Chandon, Jason Long's in the back and Harris hitting the bong.
So what's wrong?
The fact I can't keep calm, that's why marijuana hate crimes end up on my song. And God thinks I pray, but Mom thinks I'm wrong. But summertime hits end up in my facade. Talking about who's got the best robes. What's wrong with John Doe's? The emperor wears no clothes. I try to cross but cross between the necks. It's not a matter of opinion, it's just where I've been.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
And just to finish up again with we're speaking with Keith Stropp, who's the founder of NORML, also involved in a landmark, groundbreaking court case in Massachusetts. Let's get the update. This is that you and Rick Cusick were busted for smoking a joint at the Boston Common. And what
That's
happened
right.
with
that
your
was
trial
last
there?
September at the Boston Freedom Rally. They brought criminal charges against us, and actually at the preliminary hearing, they told our lawyer later that if we would have apologized, they would drop the charges. Well, I don't know what we were supposed to apologize for. There's no moral turpitude involved in smoking a joint, so we weren't doing anything wrong. It was illegal, but it's not wrong. It's not immoral. So, at any event, obviously, we weren't about to apologize, so they've gone ahead and prosecuted. We didn't choose to have this confrontation, but once the state decided to treat us like criminals, we both felt an obligation to see if we couldn't challenge the marijuana laws in Massachusetts. And once we got in touch with some talented lawyers who did a little research, we discovered it's been 29 years since the state of Massachusetts has had a comprehensive constitutional challenge to their marijuana laws. And 3 decades is a long time in this area. What that means is there's an enormous amount of scientific research which is available today, which indicates, number one, marijuana is a relatively harmless drug. Number two, marijuana is incredibly valuable as a medicine. And number three, that the continuing costs of criminalizing marijuana smokers is absurd. It's costing states far more damage than the use of the drug itself. So we thought, let's see if we can't bring those facts to the court, and let's have them take another look at it. So last week we were up in Boston on a hearing on a motion where we had filed a request for an evidentiary hearing so that we were hoping they would give us a hearing a month or 6 weeks out and we could bring in a number of experts and build our record. Well, I'll tell you, it's not always easy bringing these challenges, and this one's no exception. Judge Leonard Redd was the Boston Municipal Court judge, and he was a somewhat sympathetic judge, but he said, we just don't have time to hear this. And he literally, he said, the court's so busy that we cannot spend time hearing constitutional challenges. So he refused to hear a single witness and ruled against us just on the papers. One of the lawyers, Steve Epstein from Boston, even said to the judge, Judge, you haven't had a chance to read Dr. Grinspoon's affidavit. We filed this 50-page affidavit from Dr. Lester Grinspoon that we thought was fairly persuasive. And the judge says, no, you're right. You know, I haven't had a chance to read it, but I just don't have time. So motion denied. Well, I just wanted to bring you up to date on the most recent change on that. Our option was we had 10 days to file a motion to reconsider. We filed that today, and along with it, we filed an affidavit from University of Virginia Law Professor Richard Bonney, who was the Deputy Director of the Marijuana Commission, underscoring the point that the Commission's recommendation back in 73 was even stronger than today, because in 73 they recommended we decriminalize marijuana even though we were only arresting a couple hundred thousand people a year. We're now arresting over 800,000 people a year. We also filed an affidavit from Harvard economist Jeffrey Miron, which it's an economic study which attributes to calculates the cost of current prohibition and the lost revenue from not having a legal market. And we had Dr. Lester Grinspoon file a second affidavit, this one focusing on the myriad of positive research regarding the medical use of marijuana. So one of two things will happen. We hope the court will actually reconsider and go ahead and grant us a motion so we can bring witnesses in and build a record. But in the event they don't and they force us on to trial, at least we will have a stronger record on appeal.
Well, that's good to hear. Good to get the updates on this, and we hope that we can get a positive result out of this. It strikes me as funny, though, that they don't have enough time to check to see if something's constitutional because they're spending so much time, what?
Sending people to jail.
Sending people to jail for marijuana offenses.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of a circular argument. I have to agree with you. In some ways, I mean, I'm sure your listeners understand, that's not a legal defense. I mean, what the judge said may be perfectly true. They may be terribly overburdened with cases. They probably are. Most municipal courts are. But the court always has had the power to take a constitutional examination of a statute. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had Roe v. Wade, Griswold v. Connecticut, and all these other important decisions. So it was a little amusing to hear the judge offering a non-legal response, but you know, when you're in his courtroom, he runs the place. So
yeah.
You simply say, Your Honor, we'll file a motion to reconsider, and you move on.
Yeah, it's not so serious that they can't take the time to examine it, but it's so serious they can't take the time to examine it. Okay.
Well, by the way, one final point I would say that both Rick Cusick and I agreed is we were disappointed that we didn't get the hearing granted that we were anticipating, but we both felt that any time the defendants in one of these cases are allowed to come home and have no conditions on their release, that's got to be a victory in and of itself. So I'm happy to be home and a free man.
Yeah, just walking out of the courtroom is a victory in itself. Well, we want to thank Keith Straub for joining us here on the Normal Audio Stash. Keith, thanks for keeping us updated.
All right, look forward to talking to you soon, Russ.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
We leave you today, as we always do, with our cannabis quote, this time from Robert Altman, the director. Quote, I was a heavy drinker, but the alcohol affected my heart rather than my liver, so I stopped. I smoke grass now. I say that to everybody because marijuana should be legalized. It's ridiculous that it isn't. If at the end of the day I feel like smoking a joint, I do it. It changes the perception of what I've been through all day. End quote. Well, I couldn't agree more, Robert. And also want to thank everyone for putting up with our April Fool's Day hijinks here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash. When you're fighting prohibition every day, sometimes you just gotta let loose and laugh. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for listening. Take care of each other, tokers.